My name is Jay. I am 17 years old. Today is May 18th, and I'm speaking with Dara, who is my friend. We're recording this interview in Chico, California. So I have some questions. I guess my first one is just, what is Lyme disease?
So Lyme disease is, it's a lot of things. But Lyme disease comes from a tick, so it's a bacteria. It is a spirochete, so that means it is spiral shaped. It's referred to as like the smart cousin of syphilis because it presents kind of the same. So what's tricky about Lyme disease is it's really different for everybody, so it's really hard to pinpoint the actual disease, and testing is really bad at the moment, so a lot of people go untreated and untested and eventually end up dying. Yeah, it's a really, really serious thing that isn't talked about at all because it's scary. Yeah.
So how did you get it?
So the theory, because I don't remember getting bitten, was when I was 10, I was in Girl Scouts, and so I was always outside, and I would always come home with a bunch of weird bites, but they were just, you know, written off as like spider bites or mosquito bites. So I was bitten then, but there wasn't an acute infection because my immune system was covering it because I was super young and healthy. So I go through my life, 7 years later, I get a couple of immunizations, one for Gardasil, which is the HPV vaccine, and then a flu shot. And that lowered my immune system enough for the Lyme to wake up. So it will lie dormant in your system until there's an attack where it can take over and kill you. It's really opportunistic, and that's what's so scary about it. It can live in your system for years and years, and it usually pops up after an immunization or a pregnancy. So you're newly pregnant, and now you're super, super sick. So that's definitely what would have happened to me if I didn't have the immunizations. Yeah.
How long did it take for you to be diagnosed?
Oh boy, here we go. So, I would say around 8 to 9 months. And I was at doctor's offices constantly. So I was at Stanford, and they didn't even know. So I was slapped with the diagnosis of undifferentiated rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile undifferentiated lupus, potentially cancer, like just all this stuff that they were just kind of throwing at me just to be like, oh, maybe something will stick. And they also did that with medications. So I've been on chemotherapy because they didn't know what was going on. So they're like, ah, whatever, let's just try it, which almost killed me because that's like the worst thing you can do to someone who already doesn't have an immune system. Yeah, I've been on every medication under the moon for just anything, just to see if it worked, and nothing worked. So it took a really long time. It took 4 or 5 blood tests for anything to even come back remotely positive. And generally why that happens is the person is too sick for anything to really show up because their body is trying to fight off so many different things that it just isn't gonna show up. So mine finally showed up half positive, which is another really confusing thing. Like, what is a half positive test? And it's common because you are so sick. It's basically looking for 2 different kinds of enzymes. One that is present when there is an active infection, and another one when the infection has been cleared. And so it was half positive because I was still sick. I hadn't cleared the infection. So then started the controversy of if I really did have Lyme. I had a bunch of doctors tell me that it wasn't that, it was something else. I had a doctor tell me it was like being half pregnant. How do you be half pregnant? That's my real question. She literally told me that. A Stanford doctor told me it's like being half pregnant. And I got really mad at that, and I yelled, how do you be half pregnant? You're either pregnant or you're not. So yeah, she was fired from my arsenal of doctors because she was not giving me helpful information. But yeah, I was really lucky actually, because it usually takes a lot of people years to be actually diagnosed. And once you're diagnosed, it's been past 30 days, so a short round of antibiotics really isn't going to do anything. And that's when it becomes a lifelong issue that you just have to start chipping away at. So it's really frustrating to get diagnosed.
Yeah, sounds like
Yeah, it's rough, let me tell ya.
What was your first reaction when you were diagnosed?
Well, at that point, I had already been diagnosed with a lot of different things, so I was like, all right, well, it's just another name for something that I apparently have, I guess. But when I started actually reading about it from credible sources that, you know, aren't the CDC, but we can talk about that later, they're shady. It was starting to come together. I had a little book that I wrote all my symptoms in. It was like 3 or 4 pages front and back. Everything started to make sense. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. I was having issues breathing. Obviously, I was having issues walking. A lot of people on Inspire's campus saw me like with a cane at some point. I really wasn't sure what it was when I was diagnosed, but once I started digging, I was like, oh, this is serious, and people don't talk about it. And if it was talked about, there would be, like, mass excitement about it, and not good excitement. It would be negative, because it's very easy to get and really hard to get rid of. Oh my God, of course I felt isolated. It was, you know, really difficult because as I was getting sicker and sicker, I didn't really leave the house. A lot of people remembered I stopped going to school. I was finishing high school from my bed. I couldn't walk. I couldn't hear people. My cognitive function was really low, so I would just kind of sit there and just be pretty blank most of the time because I didn't have the energy to think. I did lose a lot of friends through this, which, you know, on one hand I'm thankful for because I know now that they're fake. But on the other hand, like, when you're super sick and the only person who believes you is like your mom, it's really isolating and just sad because people look at you as this person who's just super sick and they don't want to deal with it because it's too much. It was even too much for me to handle. But I did obviously have my mom. She's my best friend. She fought with me through all of this. And I'm really thankful for her. Because she was really my only friend at that point in time.
And before you mentioned the CDC, what?
Here we go. So, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to. The CDC's trash. They do not publish information that is correct. So if you go on the CDC's website and you type in Lyme disease, it's really gonna like not cover anything. It's gonna say you need a short round of antibiotics and it'll be gone. Well, yeah, that is the case if you had just been bitten. Like within the first 30 days of being bit, it's still in your bloodstream, so you can kill it with antibiotics. But after that 30 days, it goes into your joints, your muscles. Mine is in my brain, especially my heart. You know, it's everywhere. It doesn't hide. It likes everywhere. So the CDC will not publish accurate information because if they did, this would become a known epidemic and people would start freaking out. Yeah. I also have something about climate change. Because a lot of people out here really don't think it's real. But here it is. I'm going to tell you it's real. So the only way that ticks die is if they freeze to death. You know, and that should be happening. We should be having periods where it's freezing because that's normal in the winter. But since we don't have that, since it's, you know, getting warmer and warmer and it's just raining, none of them are dying and they're just repopulating. And they're populating at a rate that we really, there's no way to kill it except for freezing them. And how do we freeze a large area without the use of weather? Like, you can't. So, yeah, climate change really affects Lyme disease. The fact that this huge organization that's supposed to be trustworthy isn't, that's also a really big thing. There are people who are trying to patent Lyme disease, like the actual bacteria, so that they can profit from people who are getting sick. So they can, you know, slap a diagnosis on it as it should be and then be like, oh, well, now I'm making money from it. Which sounds really insane, and it sounds like I'm a crazy person, but I promise I'm not. There's a documentary called Under Our Skin. There's two. And the second one really uncovers all of the shady business that's been happening. And it makes a lot of sense about why people aren't getting diagnosed. And also, insurance doesn't pay for any of my treatment or my medication. Because Lyme disease is considered, one, either a psychiatric condition. So basically, I've been told a bunch of times that I'm making up my symptoms. But I don't know how it's possible to make up having a fever or make up having a seizure. It's just, people are really ignorant about the subject. And in theory, ignorance isn't a bad thing. It's only bad when you start learning new information and you're so set in your ways that everything that's new and helpful just goes right over your head and you're like, no, doesn't exist. You're lying. You're making it up. So yeah, the CDC's shady. If you want to learn about Lyme, go to Lyme.org. Don't go to the CDC. They're useless for this.
Yeah, that's interesting about it, how climate change just directly affects.
Yep, it directly affects it, and as more and more people are getting sick, we're gonna have a really big problem. Because just everybody's gonna get sick, because everyone gets bit by stuff, and especially if you're not careful and you're hiking, or even you're just outside, like, you're susceptible to it. Mm-hmm.
What do you wish you had known at any point in the process or beforehand?
I wish I would have known how hard it was going to be. Because when I first started researching stuff, I was reading stuff from the CDC and it was like, oh, just take some antibiotics and you're going to be fine. And I was like, okay, cool, this is something I can get rid of. I'm really sick now, but I won't be in the future. So yeah, I wish I knew how hard it was going to be on me and my family and just everybody around me. I wish I would have known how hard I would have to push for adequate health care and to be taken seriously. That was a big, big thing for me. It really wasn't until my third or fourth doctor when they're like, yeah, this is a real thing. Because after that, or before that, I was just either told I was crazy or I was looking for drugs or I was depressed. That's a really big thing. There was a doctor who was like looking at all my symptoms and he's like, that can be caused by depression and so can that. And I'm like, a seizure can be caused by depression, really? And he's like, yeah, it's common. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's common. It's common to have a seizure from depression. Okay, I see. And I wish I would have known that I have a large community that I've recently found that will help me. So, you know, I have a really good doctor in the Bay Area who, you know, treats Lyme, and I've met so many people through her, and some of my best friends now are other people who have Lyme, because we just get each other. Like, it's, this is like really complicated and multifaceted, and it's just, it's hard for a non-sick person to wrap their head around it, because there's so much that goes on, and until it happens to you and you're like, oh, well, now I get it, you just, it's hard to comprehend all of the stuff that can go wrong in one instance. Yeah.
I feel like, well, I mean, you can answer this if you want.
Well, Lyme disease has affected my life in the aspect that I know I'll never get rid of it. I'll just have to, you know, kind of just deal with it. I know that I'll have to possibly change some life plans in the future because of it. I know I might not be able to have biological children because of it. And so a lot of those things for, you know, a lot of people could be really earth-shattering, like, oh my god, I'm not gonna be able to have biological kids. And like, yeah, that possibility makes me sad, but there are other options, like, you can adopt, you can, you know, there's other things you can do in place of that, where you can, you know, love a child just as much as if it came out of you. Like, it's not the end of the world. I've gained a lot of respect for myself through Lyme disease. I've learned that I'm a badass. Like, I have argued with Stanford doctors, as I'm sick, and like, I didn't care. They were giving me a bad service. I was paying them a lot of money for really unhelpful and rude information, and I wasn't having it. Like, my mom and I, we're like an unstoppable team of like, if you feed me bullshit, you're gonna be in trouble. So, you know, there's positive and negative impacts. And, you know, in the end, I think it all kind of evens out. Yeah, I'm proud of myself, though. I've done a lot of really scary things, but in the grand scheme of things, they don't seem scary anymore. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Because it was terrifying at first.
Yeah. You kind of just answered
that.
Oh
boy, I've learned so much. Yeah, I kind of did already answer that. You know, I'm always learning better ways to take care of myself since, you know, medicine as we know it doesn't help me. So I have to do a lot of holistic practices and take a lot of different herbs and supplements to try to help my immune system. And at the beginning of all of this, when I had my doctor be like, okay, you're gonna take like 25 herbs a day, I was like, you're insane, this isn't gonna work. Like, you know, I was really, really skeptical of it. And once I just let my mind, you know, try to understand that it will help me, the stuff really did start helping me. So yeah, I've learned a lot about myself and a lot about my community, good and bad. but it's all helpful information for the future, so I'm not happy that this happened to me, but I'm grateful for it because I've learned a lot in general. I've learned probably more than the average 19-year-old knows.
Yeah.
About life and about health and about how your community can either really help you or hurt you, which is a tough concept to wrap your mind around as well. But yeah, I've learned a lot.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think other people should know
Oh my god. Well, first off, I want people to know the truth about it, because the lies that we have been told are not helping us. They are just kind of pushing away the issue until it is a big issue. I want people to know that if they act quickly after being bitten, it doesn't have to get to the point where I'm at. You don't have to be sick your whole life. You just have to be very persuasive about what you want, because the medical professionals in this area don't believe that Lyme is in California. It's everywhere. It's been found in like penguins in the Antarctic. They had spirochetes, Lyme spirochetes in their system. It's everywhere, and you know, people don't realize how big of a threat it is. It's really important to know that you have a 30-day window to get yourself help. You know, right after you're bitten, like if it's still attached, you take it off and you put it in a plastic bag, and there are places you can send it where they will crush it up and find every bacteria, every parasite, everything that's in it, so you know better what is now in your system. And antibiotics will help if it is still in your blood, which, you know, that's really good to know, because if you get bitten, you can be very persuasive either in the ER or at like a walk-in clinic and be like, hey, I need 2 weeks of antibiotics. A lot of the time they won't give it to you if you don't push, but you have to push, because if you don't, you could die, and it's a very real possibility of you dying. I also want people to know, like, if you do have Lyme disease and you're treating it, your life isn't awful. Like, I do a lot of things. It's just I have to pace myself, and I know my limits really well. And if I know something's going to push me over the edge, I don't do it. But I do things that I know I can do. I still have quite a few limitations, but nothing like when I was really sick. Like, I'm in college, I got accepted into the EMT program for Butte, which I'm really excited about. I have a pretty good life now, because I know how bad it can be, and I don't want it to get that bad again, so I know that I have to be proactive with myself and take my medication, even though some of it tastes really bad, but I have to do it. Yeah, it's not the end of the world if you treat it properly and effectively. But it can get very, very scary and very bad really quickly if you don't do anything about it.
Is there anything else that you feel you want to cover?
Yeah, so I like to consider myself as a person that people can come to if they're having an issue or if they've been bitten, because I now have an arsenal of people who will actually help. So I'm about to sound like a medical commercial, like, but if you do get bitten, please feel free to call or text me. My phone number is 530-513-4827, and I will help you. I know how horrifying it is to just start reading information online and to feel so lost. I don't want anyone to have to feel like that, because I was alone through all of this, and nobody should be alone. So I will help you. I know people you can go to. It's not gonna be fun. It's gonna be really painful. But in the long run, your health and your life is the most important thing that you have. Because without that, you're nothing. Like, I definitely felt like nothing when I was super sick, because I was just in bed all day. Like, I didn't have any quality of life. And I don't want anyone to have to feel like that. So I will help. I got y'all.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for interviewing me.